Islington let go of the key. Door was chained up beside the door made of black flint and tarnished silver. The angel walked to it and placed a hand on it, white against the blackness of the door. "From me," agreed Islington. "A key, a door, an opener of the door. There must be the three, you see. A particularly refined sort of joke. The idea being that when they decided I had earned forgiveness and my freedom, they would send me an opener and give me the key. I just decided to take matters into my own hands and will be leaving a little early." It turned back to door. Once more it caressed the key. Then it closed its hand about the key and tugged hard. The chain snapped. Door winced. "I spoke first to your father, Door," the angel continued. "He worried about the underside. He wanted to unite London below, to unite the baronies and fiefdoms, perhaps even to forge some kind of bond with London above. I told him I would help him if he would help me. Then I told him the nature of the help I needed. And he laughed at me." It repeated the words, as if it still found them impossible to believe. "He laughed at me." Dor shook her head. "You killed him because he turned you down?" "I didn't kill him," Islington corrected her gently. "I had him killed." "But he told me I could trust you. He told me to come here, in his journal." Mr. Croup began to giggle. "He didn't," he said. "He never did. That was us. What was it he actually said, Mr. Vandemar?" "Door, child. Fear Islington," said Mr. Vandemar with her father's voice. The voice was exact. "Islington's got to be behind all this. It's dangerous, Door. Keep away from it." Islington caressed her cheek with the key. "I thought my version would get you here a little faster."
"We took the journal," said Mr. Croup. "We fixed it, and we returned it."
"Where does the door lead to?" called Richard.
"Home."
"Home?" said the angel.
"Heaven?" And Islington said nothing, but it smiled, in the manner of a cat who has not only devoured the cream and the canary, but also the chicken you were saving for dinner and the creme brulee that would have been dessert.
"So you figure they won't notice your back," sneered the Marquis. "Just, oh, look, there's another angel here. Grab a harp and on with the hosannas."
Islington's grey eyes were bright.
"Not for me, the smooth agonies of adulation, of hymns and halos and self-seeking prayers," it said. "I have my own agenda."
"Well, now you've got the key," said Dor.
"And I have you," said the angel.
"You're the opener. Without you, the key is useless. Open the door for me."
"You killed her family," said Richard.
"You've had her hunted through London below. Now you want her to open a door for you so you can single-handedly invade heaven? You're not much of a judge of character, are you? She'll never do it."
The angel looked at him then, with eyes older than the Milky Way. Then it said,
"Ah, me,"
and turned its back, as if it were ill-prepared to watch the unpleasantness that was about to occur.
"Hurt him some more, Mr. Vandemar," said Mr. Croup.
"Cut off his ear."
Mr. Vandemar raised his hand. It was empty. He jerked his arm almost imperceptibly, and now he was holding a knife. told you one day you'd find out what your own liver tastes like, he said to Richard. Today's going to be your lucky day. He slid the knife blade gently beneath Richard's earlobe. Richard felt no pain. Perhaps, he thought, he had felt too much pain already that day. Perhaps the blade was too sharp to hurt. But he felt the warm blood drip wetly from his ear down his neck. Dor was watching him, and her elfin face and huge opal-coloured eyes filled his vision. He tried to send her mental messages. Hold out! Don't let them make you do this. I'll be fine. Then Mr. Vandemar put a little pressure on the knife, and Richard began to scream. Stop them, said Dor. I'll open your door. Islington gestured curtly, and Mr. Vandemar sighed piteously and put his knife away. The warm blood dripped down Richard's neck and pooled and puddled in the hollow of his clavicle. Mr. Croup walked over to Dor and unlocked the right-hand manacle. She stood there, rubbing her wrist, framed by the pillars. She was still chained to the pillar on the left, but she now had a certain amount of freedom of movement. She put her hand out for the key. Remember, said Islington, I have your friends. Dor looked at him with utter contempt, every inch Lord Portico's oldest daughter. Give me the key, she said. The angel passed her the silver key. Dor, called Richard. Don't do it. Don't set it free. We don't matter. Actually, said the Marquis, I matter very much, but I have to agree. Don't do it.